Well, what is up? How we doing, Mission Church? My name is Mike Kickerson. I'm honored to be the lead pastor. So what's up, Oxnard? How are we doing? I can hear you cheering from here. Let's go. Let's go. All right. Online, in the patio, in the lobby. Just super honored to be a part of this church. And just from my seat, from my perspective, being hanging out in both places yesterday for multiple hours, watching all of the fun and the servant-heartedness and the way that we were packing meals, like, and I love the competitive heart of mission, so that did my heart great. And I'm just so proud and to be part of this church. And can we just say thank you again to all the volunteers that helped serve behind that? It was so amazing. So cool to be part of this church. I love it. Our church exists to help people find and follow Jesus. That's what we're all about. We're trying not to overcomplicate that. We're trying to just be real simple, faith-filled followers where we work, live, and play because we believe that we've been rescued and saved by a really great God. And if you're just checking mission out today, man, that's the primary message that we have, that God is good, we aren't, but he made a way for us to be made right with him. There's not one perfect person that's around this church or on this stage, but there's a really perfect God who rescues and who saves and sent his son into the mess for the worst of us and the worst in us so that we can be made right with him. And that's great news for us. And that's why we have hope for every single one of us, not because of what we've done, but because what God has done. And then once we realize that, once we realize that we're much loved, rescued sons and daughters, then that sets our life on a trajectory that is completely opposite of the way we've been living before that. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. And in this idea of lighthouses, I love lighthouses. I grew up in Oklahoma, so I didn't ever see a lighthouse. Oklahoma is a state that's a little bit that way that you've never been to, and you just fly over, and it has no water except for Great Lakes. It's awesome lakes, but it's not the Great Lakes. So I grew up in Oklahoma, but I loved lighthouses as a kid. I loved like pictures of lighthouses and the one, you know, where the guy's on the back of it and there's this huge wave crashing and the way, because I love about lighthouses, it's the beacon of hope in the storm, right? It's a way that you know that the shore is near. It's the way that protects people when they don't exactly know what's going on and they can't quite see in front of them. The lighthouse would be a beacon that would let us know there's hope ahead or there's danger ahead or this is the way. And as I'm thinking about what the church is called to be, man, that feels like who we're called to be. As lighthouses for us as the church to be like, we're called to be beacons of hope. Not just this building as an awesome beacon of hope, because that's not the church. The church has always been the people. But where we work, live, and play, we're called to be the kind of people that we are beacons of hope, not because we're awesome, but because God is awesome and he rescues and saves. When somebody's like, well, if that guy can be saved, then I guess there's hope for me, because I didn't think there was any hope for that guy, but he's a beacon of hope, or she's a beacon of hope, where she works, lives, and plays because of what God has done, and there's something different about them, and maybe if it's different about them from the inside out, there could be something that would be helpful for me from the inside out. There's a beacon of hope that we're called to be together as a lighthouse. And then it's like, I think as a church, we're called to be on a search and rescue mission. Like, that's what we're about. We're not trying to gather a holy huddle of people and to tell everybody how amazing we are and how we need to protect ourselves from everyone else. No, we are kind of the people that are an outpost, that are like an ER for the kingdom and for people, that where there's mess, we move towards it. Where people are lost, we go find it, because that is exactly what God has done for us. So it's a search and rescue mission that we're on. And we're lit from within. Like, there's this power that we as the church, as the rescued sons and daughters of God, that we live by, that comes from the inside out, that's not from our own energy and not from our caffeine intake, but it's from like what God has done inside of us, and that starts to light us up from the inside out. Let me show you what I'm talking about. It's in Matthew 5, and it talks about how, you know, so a lot of times we're talking about how Jesus is the light of the world, and that's true because he said that he was. I mean, that's compelling vision. Like, whoever walks in him won't walk in darkness. But then Jesus said these words to us that are rescued sons and daughters, like his church, the people, not the building. He said, you are the light of the world. And you're like, wait a minute, Jesus, I thought you said that you were the light of the world, and now you were saying you are the light of the world. That's a lot of yous, but you're going to get it, that he's called us to be lit from within, that we are the light of the world. Because a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. When you're driving on the one, when you're driving on the 101 back into or out of Ventura and Oxnard, you can tell where the hills are, you can tell where the lights are, even when it's dark, you know what's going on and you know where the coast is, because it cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand for everyone to see. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light, not that comes from your effort or not that comes from your awesomeness, but what comes from being inside of you as rescued sons and daughters, let that light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what we're called to be as lighthouses, beacons of hope, people that are on a search and rescue mission and that are lit from within, that we are Holy Spirit powered and empowered, because it's not us transforming us, it's God's work in us transforming us. And that's great news for the moral foul-ups that don't have it all together, for the people that are wrestling through hurts and habits and hang-ups, for the people that are like, man, I don't know if I've ever would be good enough to be qualified to be a church person. I'm just like, well, there are no qualifications to be a church person other than to be a follower of Jesus, and that means you're in the family. You can be the weird uncle in the family, and you're still in the family. If you don't know who the weird uncle is in our family, then you're probably the weird aunt or uncle, and that's okay. That's okay, because we're all family. We're all imperfect family in that. But the mission that Jesus gave the church, the people, not the institution and not the building, what he gave the people that were following him is clear. It's actually the Great Commission, like we're co-mission, we're on mission with God and what he wants to do in the world. It's a pretty famous passage, and it's in, like, honestly, the secret sauce. There is no secret sauce of mission. It's actually just doing what Jesus has called us to do from the very beginning of time when he created the church. It's in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. It's called the Great Commission. That's what it's famously titled as. But just think of it as the fact that we are on mission jointly with God and what he's called us to do. So this is Jesus. He's like, Easter's happened. He's like shown himself to all of his followers, and he's getting ready to go up to heaven. And, you know, he's like, it's good that I go away. And you're like, Jesus, how could it be good that you go away? We could start a whole movement. You died and rose again. Stay here. We'll get you on CNN. We'll get you on Fox News. We'll get you on broadcasted all over the place. It's going to change the world. He's like, no, it's good that I go away, because you're going to have the Holy Spirit. And he's like, what? But he's like, I got this mission for you that I'm going to give you. And these imperfect men and women that he hands this mission to in first century. And he says this, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So just fun fact here. If you don't know what to do next with your life, just do the last thing that Jesus told you to do and wait for further instructions. You're like, oh, I'm so confused. I don't know. God, should I do this or this? Or because he's way more concerned about making us the right person than getting us in the right place. But if you don't know, if you find like, I can't figure out where God is working, well, what's the last thing that he told you to do? Where's the last thing that he told you to be? Who's the last thing? Where is the last thing he told you to go? So get there, and then maybe he's got further instructions for you. So where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Hopefully this is encouraging to some of us in the room. Because you're like, I'm full on in Jesus. And then in the midnight dark of my soul, like, there's doubts that creep up from time to time. I want you to know, doubt is not the opposite of faith. In fact, these are people who saw Jesus post-Easter. They were worshiping him. They're in the moment with it, and some are doubting. And Jesus says, you know what? I can deal with this, because I've got a mission for you even in your doubt. Because what are you? You're going to obey me even in your doubt, and you're going to watch me work through you and in you, and it's going to completely change your life, and it's going to change the world. Goes on to say in the Great Commission, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is a really complicated word here. Just kidding. It's not. Everything is under Jesus' control and authority. He's the Lord of it all and the boss of it all. Even when it's not going our way right now, even when it seems like God isn't winning in the world right now, all authority, he's not surprised by it. It's given to Jesus. He's waiting for everyone to come to him as best as we can. It's been given to him. And then Jesus says this, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then he says this to those of us that are following him, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's what we've been called to. That's what we go after together. So let me just kind of walk through how that plays out. We call it the Great Commission engine. We're not real fancy around here, but this is what we go after together. So one of the pistons, and it all works together when they're all working right, not just trying to get one of these working right, but at mission, who we're called to be as the church individually and who we're called to be organizationally together. It's more important than what we do individually where you work, live, and play than what we do when we gather in here where we work, live, and play, right? So we want to have a catalytic weekend experience. We want to have something where we walk in together and it is compelling. It's movement creating. It's going to move me towards God. God's going to move towards me. We're going to understand all that he has for us, and it's going to encourage me to take a step that God can be trusted, that I could invite my friends, that there is hope for everyone, that there is tangible hope and practical help, and that the Bible's not something that we play with or like some game in church that we say, hello, brother, but it's actually a people that we are called to be together, and it's a catalytic weekend experience because God does stuff. Have you ever had that experience when you walked in to one of those catalytic weekend experiences where you're like, did they know I was coming? Like, did my wife tell Mike or like that he needed to talk on that today? You ever had those moments when like you feel like I am just locked in on you, and I love you, but I'm probably not locked in on you in that moment, right? But it's where God uses that stuff when we gather together in an inspirational, compelling, and practical way to create movement in us, a catalytic weekend gathering. The church has always, there's been a gathering component to the church and then a scattering component to the church. We'll see that. So and then Acts 2, so Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. Acts 2 is the way that the early church got together. And so it goes like this. It's life-changing relationships. It mattered how they gathered, but then the way that they did relationships seemed to be compelling to everyone that was watching. And so what around here, we want to have, like rows are awesome, we want to have circles that are compelling, where we can love and be loved, where we can serve and be served, where we can know and be known. Like life is best lived, like in circles where we're known. Like you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You got that thing? I think friendships determine the direction and the quality of your life. So our life-changing relationships that we get in matter. And it's all from the way the early church did it. So this is what I want for every single one of us, that we would have compelling Great Commission in us. And Acts 2, 42 through 47 says it this way. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the gathering, and then the breaking of bread and to prayer. It goes on to say, they met, or everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. Keep going. Everyone sold property and possessions and gave to anyone that had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. So there's this way that the early church met together. They both gathered together and they were together. And the way that they were in community and life-changing together, and the way they were sacrificial together, and the way they lived out their faith that Jesus was who he said he was and was going to do all that he promised to do, had a compelling impact in the world in which they lived. And that's what I want for us individually and together, institutionally, organizationally, as mission. And we go back to the Great Commission. So we got catalytic weekend experience. We got life-changing relationships. We got surrendered living. That's where we start growing from the inside out into who God has created us to be. But it's all centered around Luke 15, which is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And that is where Jesus tells stories about what God is like. And he's like, okay, God is like, you know, the shepherd that goes after the one lost sheep and leaves 99 safe. Because there's more rejoicing in heaven over one that is restored than over 99 who don't need to be restored. And it tells like God is like the woman who cleans the entire house looking for the one lost coin. God is like the father that rejoices when the prodigal son comes back home. Like that's what God is like. And so we've said, man, it is one is greater than 99. It's all centered around that we live this way so that we can help other people find and follow Jesus. That's why we do what we do, for the one that could be restored. Now, I know that there's a lot of ways that we live this out personally that has nothing to do with this. We live like our own Great Commission engine for our life could be like power, success, you know, like achievement, money, and pleasure, all centered around me. That's what the most of our engines are for our life. But what God has rescued us for, and what he's called us for, to be the beacon of hope that he's called us to be, is like, let's gather together well, let's live together well in the way that we do life together, and let's be the kind of people that are good news where we work, live, and play, that are surrendered so that more people can find and follow him. That's what we're called to. That's what we've always been called to. So my special guest that I'd love to welcome to the stage is our executive pastor, Jim Sheldon, that's going to help us look back and forward. Would you welcome Jim to the stage so we can kind of look back of how this has played out and then maybe what God has for us for the future? I'm even going to let you have the chair.
Oh, so it's I've been very waiting important. For you to get out of my way for a long time.
I know.
It's good. Special guest.
Yeah, I know.
That's awesome.
Well, just for you.
See if I ever get invited back.
I know.
Yeah, it's crazy. Man, I think God tells us all the time to not forget, to remember some of the ways that he's shown up. And so if you've been around mission for years, I want us to remind us of some of the ways that we've watched God just show up in our midst. If you're new to mission, maybe you're even here for the first time today, I want to just catch you up on some of the ways that we've seen God show up along our journey. We're 10 years old as a church plant. We started back in 2011, and we started as a portable church, loading in and out of the Century 16 movie theater on Johnson Drive, just the way we're doing it in Oxnard right now. We call those character building years, like
absolutely.
Dropping heavy equipment
shout
on
out
our
Oxnard.
Toes, like
yeah.
doing all of that. It was after that first year, the theater that we were meeting in moved to Oxnard. Gave us the 30 days notice. We found out through the marketing department wanting to sell us advertisement in the newly opened Century 16 Theater. They're like, oh, we don't have a home in 30 days. So we set out to find a new portable spot, which in Ventura is really hard to find. In fact, in the schools here, you could only meet for up to 5 weeks at a time. So we moved to Balboa Middle School for 5 weeks. And in those 5 weeks, God did just something incredible through a providential relationship, made a way for Mission to move back into the theater on Johnson Drive, but as the sole tenant of a 16-screen movie theater building. And so we stood up in front of the church at Balboa and said, we think we've got this. We had a verbal agreement. Show up next Sunday. Maybe we'll have the keys. Maybe we'll get in. We got the keys. We got in. And here we were, a church of 200 people in this huge building, not sure what God was doing, but knew that he was up to something. And that location became really providential because it positioned the church to reach the county. We started to see people come not just from Ventura, but from Camarillo and Oxnard. And in those couple of years there, we got clarity on, like, man, who we're called to reach. And we were there for about 5 years. We had a 3-year lease and then a 1-year lease and then month to month. And we're like, we've been on this train before. We know how this ends. So we better start finding a location. And so we went on the hunt looking for spots, and we found a building we wanted to lease. And we negotiated on that, and then the lease fell through at the last minute, which was super frustrating. Only a year later to come back to that same building and instead of leasing, make an offer to purchase, and they accepted. And that's this facility in Ventura on Walker Street. The building was never for sale. We almost leased it, ended up buying it, and it kicked off a 2-year generosity journey where the people of Mission gave sacrificially and in significant ways, in ways that we had never experienced before as a church. And then ultimately moved into this facility here in Ventura in 2018, opened the doors as a lighthouse right on the freeway for our community. And we had really good friends of ours in 2018 show up in that moment and been like, so you're 7 years old, like, are you done? Is this it? And we're like, no, like, that's not, we never like felt called to have a great nonprofit with a permanent facility that attracted a crowd. Like, right. Our calling is to reach people. We believe change is possible, and there's hope for everyone, and that's the mission. And so we kind of doubled down on that in 2018 and said, we want to launch church plants. And so we launched a church plant up in Santa Barbara. Several people from Mission went up and helped launch Mission City Church in 2018. And then in 2019, we helped launch another church up in San Luis Obispo called Slow City Church. And in 2020, we want to start reaching our county. We want to not only be a church that's sending church plants, but we want to be a reproducing church right here in our county. And so that kind of set us off on the journey then to launch campuses, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And so we kind of paused that, but it kind of increased our conviction to go, like, we want to be the type of church that's good news for our community.
It's hard because we're, like, watching NTR footage, and so I'm listening to you, but I'm really, mourning NTR right back here. So point back to that. Get me back there.
So in 2020, we want to be a reproducing church in our community that is good news. And there's some things that Mission is just known for in our community, like we throw great parties for the overlooked and undercelebrated, and that's what Night to Remember is. And we had to pause that during COVID, and even during COVID, we were able to go, let's still like be about serving that community. And so we were able to donate $50,000 to help build out the playground at Arroyo Verde. That's an inclusive playground for that community, and that opened a couple of weeks ago. And so we've seen pictures on social media, seeing our community out using that playground, and that's been so cool to watch that kind of be in use. We also want to be like a church that's known in our community that shows up in crisis. And so in 2017, the Thomas Fire came ripping through our community, burned over 500 homes, displaced hundreds more. And in that week, the people of Mission showed up to shelter. The first few nights, we converted to be a distribution center in the next couple of days. And we had thousands of people come through our facility that week, hundreds of volunteers serving around the clock to be good news to our community. And then the Red Cross stood up their shelter, and we backed off and then changed our kind of focus to then serving all the people that were affected financially from the Thomas Fire, lost work, lost their groceries, didn't have power, that sort of thing. And again, through just a crazy relationship, the school district in Ventura said, we'll partner, like we'll take intake forms, and then we'll give you the forms, and then you can meet the needs. So we're partnering with all the principals, writing checks, showing up to the school, giving them to the principals, and distributed over $100,000 in financial assistance to people in the community. So that's the type of church we want to be. We want to throw great parties with no strings attached, where we throw like free Friday flicks. Every time we throw a party here at Mission, we want it to be a fun party. Jesus went to a lot of parties.
Yeah.
But we really want to make sure that we're not throwing parties for ourselves. Like, we want to be the type of church that shows up and throws parties for our community. And so when we do Free Friday Flicks, that's an opportunity for us. We don't need anything from you. There's no bait and switch here. There's no hooks, no strings attached. We just really want to throw a party for our community. And all of these things are exactly what Mike talked about. These are outcomes of surrendered living, of people who are going, man, I know that Jesus has changed my life, and because of that, I'm going to live differently, and the outcome is a church that does these types of things. And so that kind of gets us to 2020.
Yep.
This last fall even, we were going, man, we're ready. We're coming out of COVID. We are going to launch these campuses. And so last fall, many of you were here. We did the Just Getting Started Capital Campaign, and we decided to launch Oxnard right after that in October. The Capital Campaign, if you were around, we said we want to raise $1.5 million to fund two campuses. We're going to give over 2 years, and that will allow those campuses to kind of get up and running and to become financially self-sustaining over a two-year period. And I don't know if you've paid attention much lately, if you've bought gas, groceries, or anything like that. Stuff's gotten a little more expensive over the last couple of months, just a little bit. So we are looking at the cost of what we had set out to do, and we're like, we're going to need to increase our goal. So we're going to move the goal from $1.5 million to $1.8 million. And as I was thinking about still the value that provides, I was like, You can buy one house in Oxnard and one in Ojai for that same amount of money.
Maybe.
We're going to try to launch two campuses. Yeah. So like we're still going to try to do it like for that amount. And like I think the value that like we're going to be able to provide in those communities is pretty incredible. And so I just wanted to give a quick update kind of on where we're at. Many of you were here in October turning commitment cards and have been giving. And man, I just want to say way to go. In fact, some of you have already even fulfilled your commitment. So at this point, we have about $660,000 that has been given towards that goal in just the first 6 months.
Yeah, can we just celebrate that for a second? So I know, so that's amazing. Those that have seriously proactively been generous, who have set it aside, who have done it, who have gone first, that is huge. That's what I think leaders do, and I'm just really, really grateful for the people that have done that, and I'm just proud to be part of this church. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're like a core 25% of the way into the two-year commitment, and a third of the giving has already happened, which is phenomenal. In addition to that, there is about another $440,000, I think, that has been made in commitments, $460,000 in commitments that have been made. So at Commitment Sunday, people turn in commitment cards. And just a reminder, man, when we do these commitment cards, these are not contracts. These are planning tools that just help us be wise and good stewards of like where we're going as a church. And so a couple hundred of us turn in commitment cards, and there's about $460,000 outstanding in commitments made over the next 2 years. So if you add those numbers together, we're at $1.1 million towards our $1.8 goal. So there's a gap of just under $700,000, about $680,000 left to close over the next 2 years. And so we're going to be kicking off or kind of refreshing that capital campaign. Like I said, so many of you are already participating in it. In fact, 360 households are already participating either by giving or turned in commitment cards last fall, which is an incredible like percentage of our church.
Yeah, so when I even start thinking about like the people that are already in here and invested in it, and it's been amazing what God has done in that, and even thinking about how many people are new in the last 6 months to 12 mm-hmm. months, that this is all new information. I'm like, you're part of this church and you may love it, or you're just checking it out and you're trying to just figure out if this is your family, if this is your place. To like catch up where everybody else in our church has been is going to be a compelling couple weeks together. So yeah.
And so in fact, one of the things I want to ask you in Oxnard, in here, in the lobby, on the patio, there are baskets on the end of your aisles. And if you wouldn't mind just taking the basket, passing it down, if everyone would take some of the materials that are in there, even if it's your first time, grab one of these. This is going to help kind of get you caught up to speed and kind of summarize even some of the stuff that we're talking about. So as these come by, make sure that you grab one. There's two pieces in here. One is a trifold. And this trifold is literally like a summary of like the vision. So I know I'm talking fast, if you're like, I'm not tracking what he's saying, you can go back and read this. It kind of explains what we're doing. And then most importantly, on the back, this is meant to be a prayer tool for us over the next 3 weeks to be spending some time one-on-one with God and just praying about what it looks like to live surrendered lives and what it would look like to participate in this. And then there's a commitment card. Mike will talk a little bit more about these in a couple of minutes. But the commitment card, again, is just a planning tool, a way for us to kind of link arms together and say, like, hey, this is what I think we can do together as a church. This is what I'm going to do individually. So, yeah, we'll hold on to those, and we'll come back to that
yep.
In just a second. But I want to really quick just catch you up to speed on the last 6 months, because as I mentioned, we did the capital campaign, kicked it off, but we also then launched our first campus in Oxnard last October, and they met at Pacifica High School for a few months, loading in and out, and it's the nature of like starting something, lots of changes, right? So they were there for a few months, and then Oxnard, we moved to the Performing Arts Center in January, which is actually the location that I think we wanted to begin with. And in that time, man, COVID has made it hard to be able to do things like we talked about, throwing parties, doing outreach, that kind of stuff. But the team in Oxnard has been incredible, doing service projects at schools, refreshing like landscapes and gardens, showing up to soccer events in the community, just providing snacks and food and snow cones, just again, no strings attached, just showing up where people are at. And then one of the things that I'm really excited we finally got to do in Oxnard was our first Free Friday Flicks in April, and over 800 people showed up at the Performing Arts Center out in the parking lot there. It was an amazing party.
I remember driving up. I picked up my daughter from practice, and we were driving over there. I'm like, why is there so much traffic? This is so annoying. And I pulled up on 5th and Hobson, and I'm like, oh, it's us. Oh, okay. My bad.
Yep. We caused a little bit of a traffic jam over there, but it was great. The community was all walking there. It was an awesome party. And then we have Ojai that's going to be launching this fall. And we're going to tell more about that story, but just incredibly, like, God has provided an opportunity for us to lease a facility there for pennies on the dollar for the next 10 years. And Kyle Costello, who you've heard teach, he's hosted here in Oxnard, like, he's going to be the campus pastor there. And so this summer, we're going to start moving towards, like, preparing the launch of that site. And so there's going to be a big party 4th of July up there on campus at that new facility. We'll be inviting mission people to jump in and be a part of the launch team. And then September, this fall, we'll be launching the Ojai campus to try to reproduce being lighthouses both in Oxnard and Ojai in the same way that we've been able to be good news here in our community. But you're going to interrupt me.
Go ahead. Far be it from me.
The thing that I'm most excited about is this number. 1,192 people have been baptized at Mission in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, that's ultimately what we're about and why we exist. So as I'm sharing all these numbers, talking about all these things, don't lose sight of the why.
Yeah.
Like, this is why we exist. It's to help people find and follow Jesus.
That's exactly what I was going to just say. Is like, for us, so I would even, we're going for it as a church together. As individuals where we work, live, and play, like, we are on the hook personally for the Great Commission, and together we're on the hook for the Great Commission as the body that Jesus has called us to be, where we work, live, and play. So, and this is a window we're just like doubling down to go, okay, like, if we've got this lap to run, let's run this lap well and help people find and follow Jesus. And so if you were just going to encourage in this window where we got Oxnard getting going, Ojai launching, if you're encouraging our church in this window, what would you say to us?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing quite like being a part of what God's doing in our community and living an other-centered life. So many of us got to experience that just yesterday, showing up in that way. And this is another opportunity to just watch what God's going to do in your life and then in the lives of the people as he kind of multiplies the way that he does efforts of people that are living on mission together. So,
Will you help me think, Jim? He's amazing. I love him. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. Yeah, good. So this is what this is the ask that I want to make over the next 3 weeks, is that I'm begging for all of us to be a part of this mission for our one life, for us, that we would be the kind of people that, man, that we are beacons of hope, that we are people that are on a search and rescue mission, and that we are people that are lit from within, that we'd be those lighthouses where we work, live, and play. So I'm asking for all of us to take this and to legit, even if you're skeptical, cynical, doubt, you can still follow Jesus in the middle of the doubt. It's in the Great Commission. We already covered that. So just grab this, use this as a prayer tool to say, okay, God, who would you be calling me to be as the church where I work, live, and play? And so I'm asking for 100% of us over the next 3 weeks to go on this journey to say, okay, even on the back of this, it's like, where do I need to trust you more, God? What could I sacrifice for your kingdom? What am I holding too tightly that I need to surrender? How can I best demonstrate faithful obedience to you? What are you asking me to give out of the overflow of thankfulness for what you've done for me? So like 100% of us, and a lot of us have already gone on this journey, and I'm so grateful, like we talked about, we've led the way. And so just let this be a reminder of how good and how faithful God has been to you. And for those of us, a lot of us, this is a new thing. We've never done anything like this. So this is 100%. That's pretty easy math. That means all of us are going to go on this journey and say, okay, God, I'm going to be a part of the just getting started refresh. I'm going to be a part of this being a lighthouse where I work, live, and play. And then that we would commit on June 5th, so that's the third week, so 22nd, 29th, June 5th, we'd have a commitment Sunday where we'd say, okay, that gap that we have, like, we're in this tight window that we have where we're launching Ojai and some facility needs and some event needs and some ways that we kind of need to get ready for Oxnard and Ojai to go, that we would be a part of that 1.8 over the next 2 years to make them self-sustaining places and beacons of hope in those communities in our county. And then on June 19th, which is Father's Day, just quick heads up for those that just want to celebrate dads. But June 19th, we're also going to have a big give so that we could give our biggest and our best gift towards our commitment over the next 2 years on that day to help us meet some of the needs that are coming. So 22nd is what is today. June 5th will be Commitment Sunday. June 19th will be the big give. And the big prayer is that 100% of us would go on the journey to learn to give from a place of deep contentment and trust and faith in who God is, not just to a thing, and that we would learn how faithful God is in that. And it takes all of us as individuals to be going on this process, to be the church together where we work, live, and play, and to be the lighthouses that God has called us to be. So that's my prayer. Would you pray with me as we do that together? And would you pray? Let's pray for our church. God, I am so grateful to be a part of this group of people. Thank you for your idea of creating the church. Thank you that it is a lighthouse, that we are called to be the light of the world because you are the light of the world, Jesus, and what you've done inside of us changes things. Thank you for the way that you've called us to extend practical hope and tangible help to our world, that we would be people of good news. God, thank you for the resources and the time and gifts and talent that you put in every single one of us, that we could reflect who you are to a watching world. God, would you just challenge us and would you encourage us to be people that are proactively generous because we trust you and that we celebrate what you're doing in these places in our county to help people find and follow you. God, we're grateful for you and we need your hope and we need your help every single day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.